We're holding on Vav Amud Aleph, third line. Okay, so we mentioned yesterday that we talked about the idea that there's in Kiddushin, you have to, we said the husband has to be the one who's giving the money of Kiddushin, not the wife giving it. Has to be that he's the one who says Harayat Mekudeshes, not that she says Harayat Mekudeshes law. And the third thing we said is there has to be an actual proper lashon of Kiddushin. For example, if he says, you are Mekudeshes to me, not, for example, I am your husband, or I am your arus, or whatever. So now, continuing on that last topic, Tana Rabbanan, if he says, besides the lashonis that we had yesterday, where you can say, Harayat Mekudeshes, Harayat Mekudeshes, Harayat Leidju, the more of them, Harayat Ishti, Harayat Arusasi, Harayat Chnuyali, Mekudeshes, if he says, you're my wife, you're my arusa, you're required to me, Mekudeshes. More examples, Harayat Shali, if he says, you're mine, Harayat Bershusi, you're in my Rishus, Harayat Zikukali, you're connected to me, like the Zika of a Yavam. Also, Mekudeshes, you have six things, you're listening to Kula Kachada. Why does it break it down into two groups of three? Just say them all together. The answer is, that's just how he happened to learn it. Tana plus Shaminu v'Garsinu. The Tana learned them three at a time, and that's how he memorized them. So therefore, when he came to kids, when he came...
He learned more than three at a time.
First of all, maybe, you know, I mean, it's not that he couldn't, but it makes it easier when you have them, in groups like that.
It's another way of saying that any other way would have been more difficult.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Iboy Lahu. It's also possible he heard that he learned them from two different rebbeim, you know.
Right.
Okay. Anyway. So now they had a question. What about some other lashonis? Now, the problem with these lashonis is, as the Gemara will say later on the Amud, that in principle, these lashonis could mean kiddushin, but they could also mean something else. For example, they could mean, I want you to be available for a job. So therefore, they're sort of equivocal. And there are lashonim we'll talk about. I think the Rashba talks about the issue with the underlying issue with these is, given kiddushin has to be done in the presence of edim, if the lashonis themselves are not clear, okay, let's say even they say, fine, you know, this is our private language, we have an understanding between us that this is meant as kiddushin. But do the edim know that? So, Iboyelahu, miyuchedes limahu, what if he says you should be unique to me? So again, it can mean marriage, as we find over there, that the husband and wife become one flesh. But it could also mean you're reserved for me, like your work exclusively for me. Mahu, what would be the din? Mu'edesli mahu, what about mu'edes, Meloshin yud, from an Alma Ibria that we've been talking about the last couple of days. The literal meaning of mu'edes is like designated. So in the case of an Amor Hebriya, you have, for example, Ashalo Ya'oda, that the master or can designate her for himself or for his son, that she'll go from being an Amor Hebriya to being a wife. But again, not necessarily. Does it have to mean marriage? Ezrosi Mahu, what if he says you'll be my help? Negdosi Mahu, or you'll be my opposite partner. Also the same thing, Loshan Eza Kenegdai.
We learned back there in Yevamos
when he talked about that, right, the Zocha Eze Loi Zocha Kenegdai, that if a person is Zosa's wife is a help to him, and if not, then she opposes him, which we talked about then, there's a vote on that actually, that it can be not opposes him in the sense of like being mean to him or whatever, but opposing him in the sense of he has stupid ideas or whatever, and she opposes him and puts him on the right path. Okay, anyway.
But anyway, whatever.
Negdasi in the simple sense could mean like my opposite number or whatever. It doesn't have to mean an oppositional kind of thing. Okay. Absurasi mahu. What if he says absurasi? Now, what does absurasi mean? Rashi himself says, and Tosfos Riyazakin also says similarly, that it means you're like sort of stuck with me in the house. Now, Asura, Meloshin, Otzer, Meloshin, Apseres, yeah, like everybody's not really stuck, like gathered together in one place, so like you're together with me in the one house. Then it actually brings from his Rebbe's, and you have a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, where David HaMelech comes to Noiv, he's starving, he asks the Kohen Gadol, do you have any food? And the Kohen Gadol says, all we have is lechem upon him, are you at least tahor? And David says, yes, kin isha Asura lot, women have been withheld from us. So in that case, Atsura is related to the concept of being with women. The problem is, Rashi says it doesn't really fit. The point is the other way around. Dabar HaMelech is saying that we haven't been with women in the last couple of days, therefore we're tahor. What does that have to do with over here? We were trying to create kiddushin.
Seems Atsura means more mirroristic.
Yeah, okay, all of these things have to be a lashon of erusin or a lashon of nisuin or whatever. Anyway, Tosfos for infers that what it means, what you could understand the pasuk to be saying, that David is saying, I have a wife who is atzura, I have a wife who is specifically designated, set aside for me. However, I haven't been with her the last couple of days. And therefore, it comes out that all these, the good thing of that is that it comes out that all of these lashonos are things that have something to do with, that we do find someplace in the pasuk, we find in a context of marriage. Because Rashi's own explanation of Shetaneh Sefetim Labayit, fine, other than one pasuk, you never really find. According to Rashi's explanation, that atzurasi means set aside, like designated, like where we live together in the same house or whatever, you never actually find a pasuk that uses that about marriage. Whereas if you go with Rashi's Rebbe's explanation, Tosfos says this, that if you go with Rashi's Rebbe's explanation, which, okay, Rashi himself doesn't like it, but if you explain it the way that Tosfos explained it, then you have the advantage that there also you find the word atzura meaning someone you're married to.
Uniquely designated.
Yeah. Okay, next. Salofi. What if he says you should be my rib? Like the rib that Chava was created from. Sigurofi. Or he says you should be the one closed up for me. Loshen you have over there after the Hedrusha did the operation. By Yisgur Bosa Tachtene. He closed up. He closed up the operation, the site of the operation. Tachti Mahu. What if he says you should be under me? Like a woman is Tachas or Tachas Isha, for example. Tfusafi Mahu. You should be the one that's grabbed by me. So some of the Rishonim talk about that the we find it in connection, for example, the Hilo Nitzpasa, which we talked about by a Sota, like she wasn't forced into it, she did it willingly, then she becomes also to her husband. Tosfos Riazak and says a little differently. He says that it means in sort of similar to Atzurasi, Nitpesis Imi Bebayis, like you're sort of stuck with me in the house. Okay. Or what if he says, you're the one that I've taken. Are any of these valid lashonis? Okay, one of the mafoshim, Shita Lo Noda Lami, it's called. It's a pirush on Kedushin, whose author is unknown. He gives an interesting thing. He says, what should be the problem with Lukuchasi? The problem is that we do find Kiyikach Yishisha, as the Gemara is going to quote now, from a Braisa that it works. On the other hand, the fact is, in Tanakh, we find the Shodosh Lokach used in two different meanings. It can mean to acquire, which is what we said originally, Kiyikach, Kichel, Kichel, Misdeh, right? Or it can mean to take, just like for Kachlach, Apagad Bakr, Kachas Aaron, Vayikach Korach, etc. Meaning just like to take something for someone. Not necessarily in marriage, or not necessarily as an act of acquisition.
It would be
just like to convince somebody to go with you or whatever. Like
use that for a shikha, really, like a chassid.
Also true. Okay, so pshat the Gemara says pshat miyachada. Okay, out of all of those, at least we are able to find for one of them. We are able to answer and say that we can prove that one of them is valid. The Tanya, we learn in a Braita, Homer Lukukhasi, Hareitim Kudeshas. If somebody says, Hareit Lukukhasi, that does work, that is valid Kedushin. Mishum Shinema, Kiyikach Ishisha. That'll be fine. It's the Lashon HaPasa, Kiyikach Ish. So all the other ones, then, the point is that since the Gemara leaves them unresolved, they would all be Sophic Kedushin. How about another one? Harufasi mahu. What if he says Hareat Harufasi? Harufasim Lashim Shivcha Haruf. Now, when we talk about Rashi and Tosfos both point out over here that there's a couple of different possibilities what a Shivcha Harufa is. When we learned the whole sugya about Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chorin back in Gittin a couple of months ago, we talked about the Maskana, the Halacha follows the opinion that a Shivcha Harufa is a Shivcha with Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Shivcha, Chetzi Bas Chorin, half free, half slave, and she's Mekudosh, she's Mekudosh to an Eved Ivri, where she has the ability. Only an Eved Ivri is would be able to marry such a woman because the half of her that's free he's able to be with, as she's a Bas Yisrael, and the half of her that's slave he's also allowed to be with as an Eved Ivri. So in that case, then it's considered valid Kedushin. On the other hand, you could look at it that maybe not. A Shivcha Harufa, there's another opinion that a Shivcha Harufa is a full-fledged Shivcha who is designated for an Eved Ivri. but not really, there's no kedushin over there. She's a shifcha. Kedushin aren't really tofus. She's just mutter to him under the regular rule that an eved ivri master can give him a shifcha in order to have children.
Not his wife.
She's not considered his wife, halacha, though. He may consider her for this
letter. She needs a kid when...
No. The kids stay by the other, and yeah, I mean, he himself considers her a wife. He says, if he doesn't want to go free at the end of the 6 years, he says, Ahati es adoni es ishti ves banai. But la halacha, she's not his wife and they're not his children. So if you go that way, then charufa, then a shivcha charufa, then there's no kedushin at all. So that's the question, does it work or not? Tashma, the Tanya. Yes, if somebody says Hareat Harufasi, it does work. Shekein b'Yehuda karin la'arusa harufa. Because in Yehuda, they call an arusa by the word harufa.
That means only in Yehuda?
And that's the way. The question is, Yehuda have a rubber dam? So is Yehuda the majority of the world? That we should say because they use this term, therefore any place else you use it, it has validity. How are the Edom supposed to know, for example, what you mean by it? No, what we mean is ha'orim charufasi mekudeshes. No, let's try like this. What the Braitha means is if you say ha'reat charufasi, she is mekudeshes. Kenema v'hishivcha necharefes le'ish, because you have a pasuk that says, that uses it in the sense of kedushin. Again, if we take the pasuk to be talking about a chetzi shivcha v'chetzi v'ascharin, then kedushin is shayach, at least in the half of the street. V'oid, and furthermore, v'yehuda karin li'yehuda charufa. You should know that in Yehuda they actually use the word charufa for an arusa. Okay, so my ask still be Yehuda Ba'idlikra. Okay, so what? Furthermore, in Yehuda they use this. If you have a prophet, that should be reason enough. You don't need the fact that they use this terminology in Yehuda. This is, by the way, the famous expression, Yehuda Ba'idlikra. It's a somewhat common expression in Sfarim, like when somebody, I'll never mention this, for example, in the introduction to Tanya, to say, like, there's already a pasuk that says this. It's like, I don't even need to add anything, but I'm saying it anyway. Needless to say, but I'm saying it anyway. Also, in Shari Chabamun, the Alta never brings it in another context that we see from this Gemara, the word oid means something like something that has a secondary importance. Like, in other words, the point of the Gemara's question is a minhag in Yehuda that they use the word charufa, and this doesn't even have a secondary importance relative to the pasuk. What are you mentioning them in the same breath? And therefore, the Alter Rebbe explains based on that the idea when you say in davening hazamra lo the kai ba'odi, it means as long as I have a goof, I will sing to Hashem. The body is like an oid; it's like a secondary, a tuffle, it's a thing relative to the neshama. Okay, Elahokakama. No, let's try a third possibility. What Braitha means is I'm a charufa of Yehuda Mekudesh. If somebody in Yehuda says Hareat Charufa, she's Mekudesh, only in Yehuda. Shekein b'Yehuda, karin la'arusa charufa. Because in Yehuda, that they use that term, and therefore again you can assume that the Edom understand what we're talking about. Yeah. But not anywhere else. So we're not mentioning the pasuk actually. The original Braita just said Ha'im Charufasim Mekudeshes Shekein B'Yehuda Karin La'arus La'charufa. So yeah, in Yehuda they use the Lashon HaPasuk, but the Braita itself is not quoting the pasuk. The Braita itself is just saying that it works in Yehuda because in fact that's the terminology that they use in Yehuda.
Well,
we tried fixing the Braita by saying Va'oid. We said that doesn't work out. So yeah. But my opinion, okay, so what's the situation we're talking about over here? In the case of Charufa or all these other cases that we were asking about, Miuchedes and Miuedes and the rest of them. If it was that they weren't previously talking about matters of Gittin Mekedushin, all of a sudden out of the blue he hands her something and says, Hareat Miuchedesli. Okay, but still, Menor Yodamai Karmala. So forget about the Edom a minute. How does she even if we could argue that they are Lashon, that they are Lashon as Kedushin, how would she know that she could be Kedushin involved, that it has to require her Ratzon, her Das, to be Machden herself to him? If she doesn't know what these words mean, how does it help? The Elam Medaber Ima Al Iske Gittin V'Kedushin. Well, then if you're going to say that it's talking about when they were previously talking about matters of Gittin V'Kedushin, well, then, afagabdolai omalonami. Then, in that case, he doesn't even have to say anything. Even if he doesn't say anything at all, it should be valid. It's not, as we learn in the Mishnah. If a man is talking with a woman about matters of gittin v'kedushin, so they've been planning the thing, basically. I'm going to Mekadesh you at some point, and then he pulls out the ring or whatever. But not from the gittin v'kedushin, and then he pulls out the ring or pulls out the kedushin, v'loy perish. Rabbi Yossi Omadaya, so Rabbi Yossi says that's good enough. You don't need any further washing.
She's Mekodesh,
exactly. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tzorach Tafarish. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you still have to specify, you still have to say the words, Harayat Mekodesh, or some equivalent term. And, V'omer Ravuna Omer Shmuel Halacha Ke Rabbi Yossi. So Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So even if you didn't say anything, then even if you don't say anything, it's good. So what do we care whether? What do we care with? Whether he said Harayat Mekodesh or what have you? It can't be worse than saying nothing. Amri, so the answer, actually, it could be. La'olam B'Megabe Imal, it could be worse. Because la'olam B'Megabe Imal is Gittin V'Kiddushin. Yes, let's say we are talking about a case, they were previously talking about Gittin V'Kiddushin. So she knows to expect that a get or Kiddushin are going to be coming soon. V'Iti Yoiv Lava Shosei Kochanami. So if he were to give her the get or the Kiddushin and not say anything, it's true. That would be it would be valid according to her. Yeah, you see, and that's the halacha. However, Hacha B'Maya Skinem, but what's the situation we're talking about over here? Did Yahav love Amala Bahani Lishni? The case would be where he gave her. So they were talking about Iski Gidav Kiddushah. She knows it's coming. But then he uses one of these Lashonis. So then, in a way, this is worse than not saying anything at all. Not saying anything at all, fine. We go according to what you were talking about it before. So therefore, we can assume that it's a continuation of it. Here, where you say one of these things, Hani Lishni the Kiddushi Kamala, are these Lashonis meant as an expression of Kiddushin, and therefore it's a continuation of what we said before, or maybe not. Maybe each of these Lashonis can be understood as, I want to reserve you for work. I want to reserve you that you're going to work for me. And so, we were talking before about Gittin the Kiddushin. Fine, now I'm going on to another topic. Therefore, Teiku.
He's talking about Kiddushin. All of a sudden, he changes.
Miuchedes or whatever. Yes. Well, that's what we're arguing. Since the equivocal statement, again, there's also the issue. It's not just a matter of, there's two different matters we have to consider over here. One is whether she understands them as a lashon of kiddushin, and the other is, can we be reasonably certain that the Edim who are watching the kiddushin realize that it's a lashon of kiddushin? Therefore, Teiku, so they're all Sophic Kedushin in that case. Yeah. Cool. Getting back to what we said before, the Mishnah that we quoted.
Teiku, she's right now, she's not the Kedushin.
Well, she's Sophic Kedushin.
Sophic.
If he were to die childless, for example, she'd need Chalitza to be on the safe side. If he ends up giving her a debt to be on the safe side, she might be also to marry a Kohen, etc. Gufa, getting back to the Mishnah that we quoted a few lines ago. Incidentally, on the side of it, it references a Rashi in Sukkah, which deals with the question. Usually, when the Gemara uses the word Gufa, it's usually we're getting back to a statement from a Braita. We mentioned a Braita in passing in a discussion before, and now we want to get further into it. Usually, we don't do it to Mishnayos. This thing that we quoted before is a Mishnah from the Masechta Maaseh Sheni. So why are we using Gufa on it? So they reference over here, the Maseches Hashas references a Rashi in Sukkah that deals with a similar question about a Mishnah in Seder Taharis. A Mishnah in, I think, in the Masechta, anyway, Rashi says, I once asked my Rebbe, how come? And Gufa is supposed to be used for prizes and things like that. His Rebbe told him, since there's no Gemara on Seder Taharis, most of it except for Masechta Nidah. Therefore, when the Gemara has an opportunity, when it quotes a Mishnah from that Seder, it will use Gufa on it because we do have to discuss it further over here. Otherwise, we're not going to have a separate Masechta to discuss it. Same thing with Zroim. Then Zroim has Babli, no Yerushalmi. No, he has Yerushalmi, no Babli. Same idea then. If we have a Mishnah from Maaseh Sheni, we've got to discuss it over here because we're not going to have another context available to discuss it.
The two that don't have... Zroim has
Yerushalmi and no Babli. Taharis has neither. Taharis has neither, except for Masechta Nidah in both. The Yerushalmi Nidah is incomplete. We only have the first three perakim and about one line of the fourth perak. But no, apparently, there's no Babli to any of the other 11 Masechtas. There's no Babli or Yerushalmi to any of the other 11 Masechtas of Taharis.
There was us, or what happened?
No, but of course, Rashi, it comes out they were probably never written in the first place, the Pashtus, because the dinim of Zroim are Negeah and Eretz Yisrael, although most of them are mitzvahs apluyisbar, except for Masechta Brachos, all of them pretty much are mitzvahs, most of them are mitzvahs apluyisbar, so they're relevant in Eretz Yisrael, not so much in Babel. And Taharis is not most of it, again, except for Nida and parts of Mikvot, are not really relevant after the Churban, after people were not after people didn't have as much need to be careful of Tumah V'Tahara. So therefore, presumably no Gemara was written for them in the first place. When Mashiach comes, then we'll have to rediscuss them. Then yeah. But again, you know, it is possible, based on these kinds of gufas and things like that, it is possible to assemble together a fair amount of material scattered across the Bavli and the Yerushalmi on those necessities. Maybe not a complete, let's say you might not have a complete Gemara on Kalim or Aholos or what have you, but you have a substantial amount of discussion on it. Anyway, gufa. We said that if a man is talking with a woman about matters of gittin v'kiddushin, if not from the gittin v'kiddushin of a late period, she gives her then the get or the kiddushin and doesn't specify, doesn't actually say anything. We said Rabbi Yosi Amidaya, Rabbi Yehuda Amitzarach Lefarish. So, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amashmu, who shuach sukin ba'oise inyan. This is only talking about if they were previously talking about the same topic, if they were already talking about the get, and now all of a sudden he pulls it out without saying anything and the same thing with the kiddushin, then yes, if not, then not. Similar. Okay, there are two different shittas in the Rishonim. There's the Bala Itzur versus the Rashba to explain how. Let's learn the next couple of lines of Gemara, and then we'll talk about the different shittas on how to explain this. Okay, only if they're discussing the same matter beforehand. Ketanoi, this is actually like a machloikas tanoim. Rebbe Yemav Hushat Sukin Ba'iseinian. Rebbe says that it only works if they were previously talking about the same subject. Rebbe Loz Rebbe Shimon Omer Afafi She'enav Sukin Ba'iseinian. Rebbe Loz Rebbe Shimon says even if they're not talking about the same subject, he just pulled out a get or kedushin and gave it to her without saying anything, it could also work. The question is, how is he supposed to know? How is she supposed to know what's going on if he doesn't say anything? And there is also, by the way, the Mephoshim discussed, what about in the case of a get? We talked about this a few times in Gittin. Do you actually have to say anything when you're handing over the get? The Mechlokes are showing him on that. Is it good enough that the get itself says, Hareat Macheres L'chol Adam, and whatever other Lashonis, so you don't actually have to say anything at the time, or do you have to? The Rambam Shitta, for example, is you must actually say the words, Hareat Macheres L'chol Adam, when you hand it to her. We're talking about what Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon doesn't mean they weren't talking about the same topic at all. It doesn't mean they weren't talking about the topic at all. It means they segued from one topic into another. What does that mean? So Rashi says related to the same topic. So Rashi says, for example, previously they were talking about Kiddushin, I'm going to mean the Kaddish you, but he hasn't yet actually given her the Kiddushin. Now they've segued into a related topic. They're starting to talk about the Nadan, and what are we going to do for Parnasa, and how we're going to set up house, etc. The Me'iri gives a different explanation. He says that Me'inian Linian Bosa Inian can also mean we're not talking about our engagement, our Kiddushin anymore, we're talking about other people's engagements. That's also Me'inian Linian Bosa Inian. Anyway.
Who's the other one?
The Me'iri says that.
Right, but before that?
The Rashi was the one who said, So on this, like I say, the Bala Itter, one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Abba Mori, I think his name was, and the Rashba have two different ways of explaining what we mean over here. Are we saying that, in fact, Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon's Machloikas is exactly on the same, covering the same ground as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi's, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Sorech Lefarish, because they're not Oisik Ba'Oisik Inyan, therefore you have to actually say, whereas Rabbi Yosi is saying that Asukin Ba'Oisik Inyan, and therefore you don't have to say, or is it two different Machlokasin, and then you could discuss when Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi are giving their two different opinions, are we talking about within that they were already talking about Iski Gitzu V'Kiddushay, like we said before. That's the thing. So not necessarily. When we said that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says Vehusha Sukin Ba'Yisinian is maybe or maybe not the same thing as the previous piece of Gemara had said Medaber Imali Skigitav Kedushah. They could be talking about that. They could be relating to two different machlokes things. Yeah. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halachah Rabbi Yosi. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabashi. So Rabbi Yehuda asked Rabashi. How about, let me ask you, what about, you know, there's this din that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, Kol she'en yedeh b'kiv gittin v'kiddushin, if somebody does not know all the ins and outs of the dinim of gittin and kiddushin, he doesn't know all the halachas of them. B'tiv means the halachas of Rashi. Rashi explains, b'tiv gittin means b'hilchasein. Lo yehela eisek imachin. He should not be involved with them. Now, what does it mean he shouldn't be involved? Rashi says, don't be a dayan. Don't be supervising gittin or kiddushin if you don't know all the detailed halachas. Because what happens? You might end up being matir or something inappropriate, being matir or inappropriately or whatever, and you're going to cause terrible problems. Tosfos says you don't even need that. It means something else also. It means if you don't know all the ins and outs of the dinim of kiddushin, don't go talking with women about iske kiddushin. Sometimes you might say something which you may not have fully intended to be kiddushin, and nevertheless it has that effect. I can tell you, for example, the story I read about some 40 or 50 years ago or something. They once had at some school they had a mock wedding. They had a bunch of 12 and 13 year old kids, boys and girls. They had kind of a mock wedding in the classroom. And there were boys giving girls like a plastic ring or something and saying how to act prudentiously. And the teacher realized what's going on and placed an emergency call to Moshe Feinstein to ask, is there any possibility that these are valid kiddushin? And Moshe had to sweat over it quite a bit to figure out the truva. And the truva in Igros Moshe, where Moshe goes in to the details of all of his research on it. I think that there were actually some of them that actually came out. They could be considered valid kiddushin. He gave her something which is a shava priti. He said out atmakadoshesly. They're a gadol and a gdola. I think there were at least some of those cases where it had validity.
I heard there was a case in front of Senator Santi.
That right.
There's a very true story. This is the thick and central thing.
Yeah.
But we sure Bach is a very smart kid, a very notable. He didn't have a pain to his name. And the ship that sent him out, he should go just travel. He went to a very, very wealthy house. The owner wasn't there. And the workers were there. He looked like an old, poor, innocent yeshiva Bach. And there's a girl over there, the rich girl. And they did a mock wedding.
And the upshot of it. I know the story he's talking about.
And they gave her a ring. She took a ring.
Yeah.
They gave it to him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't give up.
The story was this Bacher, I think, had originally gone to his Rebbe for a bracha, for a shidduch or something, and the Rebbe told him, basically, take the first shidduch that comes your way. And then now, after all this happened, he said, look, my Rebbe, I think it was the Oyev Yisrael, told him to take the first, you want to undo this, go talk to him.
Yeah. They told him to wait a year. The Badi took this kid, he fed him well, and he made him very, very wealthy because he gave him the use. He made him pay for the time, the Bacher, And then the guy came inside, we're not doing it, but they saw a beautiful, nice young fellow answering the door. He was like the Rebbe Shamus, and they said, who is this guy? Said, this is the guy who you, this is your son-in-law. They realized it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
When was that?
It's a story involving, I think, after Rob, So Tosfos is saying that's the kind of thing we're talking about. So don't be involved with don't be involved in saying anything about kiddushin unless you know all the ins and outs of the halacha. Yeah, things are exactly. So, Rav Yemar is asking, does that mean even, for example, if he doesn't know this particular detail that we said, that Rav Huna had said in the name of Shmuel, that the halacha is, like Rav Yossi in this case, that if you give her gittin the kiddushin without saying anything, it's still valid? It's such a thing common enough, Rashi says, that a person should give a get a kiddushin without saying anything, that a rav who wants to be involved with these things, or a person who wants to talk with a woman about kiddushin or whatever, has to know this. And Rav Rashi says, yes, indeed, that's one of the halachos that you have to know as well. It may be a rare case, but it's still a case. The Taz brings an interesting thing, by the way. He says that the point of the question is, even when Rabbi Huda is saying Tzorech Lefarish, it's not like Rabbi Huda is saying if you're not Lefarish, if you don't say anything, it for sure won't be a valid get or a valid kiddushin. You're to be on the safe side, be Mefarish. He might in principle agree with Rabbi Yossi that time, especially if you're talking about Iske Gittin the kiddushin. Therefore, the vote. So this is how the Taz learns, that even Rabbi Huda, who says Tzorech Lefarish, might concede that if you didn't, then at least it has a certain validity. So that's the question, therefore. If even Rabbi Huda is only saying it basically as a Chumra, Tzorech Lefarish, in order to make it absolutely clear, and so that there's no Chashash, is it important that a Rav who's going to be involved with these things knows that particular din? And the answer is he has to know it as well.
According to this interpretation, whatever he was, there would be a suffix if he didn't say it. She could still be a Kodeshes, according to him.
Possibly, yeah.
No,
Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying Chachila. I mean, sure, according to him, of course, the proper thing according to him would be to say it, but we're saying it. Incidentally, by the way, speaking of people doing Kiddushin under unusual circumstances, I read online an interesting case that happened in Israel some years ago. There was a guy on trial in court. They brought in his girlfriend to testify against him. In the middle of the trial, he takes his watch, gives it to her, and says, "I am credentially." Well, halacha is halacha. She's now considered his wife. Spousal privilege. You can't force a spouse to testify against him. against so this one. Yeah. Okay. Then we said v'chein b'gerushin, that the same thing we said before goes as far as gerushin. Nosam l'gita v'amul l'harei. I'm sure this is actually going back to yesterday. We said that Shmuel had said that if you give kesef or shove a kesef and say harei m'kudeshes, harei m'ureses, etc., then it works. And the same thing by Gerushin, but if he says harei ishich or harei bailech or whatever, then no, it doesn't work. And the same thing by Gerushin. Nosam l'gita v'amul l'harei m'shalachas, harei m'kudeshes, harei m'kudeshes, harei m'kudeshes, then it works. So now the Gemara is going to go over an issue of some other lashonis, which actually we had the same Gemara about a week and a half ago at the end of Gittin. Pshita. Now we know for sure that if a person nosam l'gita, if a person gives his wife a gift, but amal l'ishta harayat baschurin, and he says now you're a free woman, we know obviously loyam of loy kulam, and what he said doesn't count for anything. She's already a free woman. She's married, but he doesn't own her group at that point.
She owns
her own group, unlike a shifa. So therefore, that doesn't count as anything. Conversely, if a person says to his shifcha or writes it in a shtar, whatever, then it doesn't work. That's a lashon of gerushin. It's not a lashon of shichur. Rashi says because when a woman is divorced, she's mutter to everybody who she was previously offered to. With a shivcha, it's not like that. Yes, she becomes mutter to marry a Ben Yisrael, but now she's also to marry an Eved. So therefore, you can't say it, well, chol Adam.
Tosfos,
of course, they're still a human being.
She was
mutter to him before, but now she's not. But Tosfos in Gittin, in the sugya in Gittin, explains it differently. The fact is, Even after she's given the get shichur, she's not a full baschur, and yet she's still ketovah in the mikvah, l'shem geirus. So in that sense, saying harayat materes l'chadam, what do you mean? She's not mutter to everybody at this point. She's still also to a ben yisrael, even after the get shichur, till after she tovahs. So therefore, it doesn't work. Okay. The question becomes, amal ol ishte harayat asmech mahu? What if somebody says to his wife, you are on your own? What is that? What's the game? Do we say that he means just as far as your malacha, that your mighty adair will belong to you? Maybe he means in an absolute sense, you're on your own, you're not with me anymore. Come a little bit of a Rashi, Toshma, come, let's prove from a case, the Tanya, or the Tanan, really, it's a mission over there near the end of Gittin. Gufish or Get Shichru, the essence, the essential lotion of Get Shichru, is Hareyata ben Chorin, Hareyata la'afracha. Actually, the lotion we had in the mission over there was in feminine form, Gufish or Get Shichur, was to a Shifcha, Hareyat bas Chorin, Hareyat la'asmech. Now here we're quoting it in a sense, because the reason is because there we were talking about a Get Isha, so therefore, as a natural flow, it went to talk about a Shifcha. Here we're quoting it as an independent piece, So now, Hashtag, so now let's make a Kavachoyma. Ma Eved Knani, Dekoni Le Gufa, Manach and Eved Knani, you, the master, own his goof up until now. And when he says, he doesn't just mean from now on anything you earn you can keep. He means you fully own yourself now.
How much more so, Isha,
where he never owned her goof in the first place, like Oshkan, how much more so? Now, Tosis points out, why don't we say the same thing about Baschurin? The reason is because the word baschurin bechlal is not shayach to gerushin. She was already a baschurin. She was a baschurin before, and she is a baschurin now. Whereas la'asmech, you can argue that it has a certain meaning. It has a certain meaning relative to her, at least ma'isi adam, maybe even a full fledged gerushin. And therefore, you can use this kavachomer to say that it means gerushin rather than just ma'isi adam. So that worked. Another one. Amalei Ravina Laravashi. Amalei Avda Inli Etik Bachmai. What about the other way around? What about now? Not the other way around. What about a Lashon? A master says to his slave, "I have no business with you." My, what's the din? Is that considered a Lashon of Shechur? Mi'amin Inli Etik Bach means a Gamri Kamalei. He means in an absolute sense, you're completely free of me. A Jemalam Lachu Kamalei. Maybe in that case, Ma'atzmochel fine means you're on your own completely. We said maybe in the Esek block just means I don't have any business with you as far as you might see other.
You're still my slave.
But you're still my slave.
Don't you have a formal lashon of shichur for a never, just like you have for a wife?
Yeah, but that's what we're saying. In other words, if you wrote this in a get shichur, for example, does that work? Okay. Hey, Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Ashi. Rav Nachman. This isn't the regular Rav Nachman show. This isn't either of the regular Rav Nachmans in Shas, by the way. The regular Rav Nachmans are Rav Nachman by Yaakov, who was in the times of Abaye and Rava, and Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, who was in the following generation, who was a Talmud of Abaye and Rava. This one is in the times of Rashi. It's a later Rav Nachman, apparently. Actually, when we had it in Gittin, we had the gifts over there was Rav Chanin. Anyway. The other version is that it was Rav Chanin Mechazal. So one version is it was Rav Chanin plain, and the other was Rav Chanin specifically from Chazal. Okay, anyway. Toshma, come, I can prove this from a braisa that we learned in Gittin in connection with when we had the whole sugya of Avadim over there. We said if somebody sells his Eved Kanani to a guy, Yotzalacherus, the slave automatically goes free. Which actually means we learned over there, and actually quotes it over here, that you cancel you penalize the original master, you make him buy him back from the goy at even as much as 10 times his value, or we discussed there in the Gemara maybe more than 10 times his value, and then automatically you have to set him free because you make him a mitzvah, exactly, because you made it impossible for him to be able to fulfill mitzvahs while he's working for the goy. Yeah. So yotzalchev v'tzorach get shichur mirav rishon. However, he does need to get shichur from his original master. And Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel, b'medvorim amurim shleikosav alav oinoi. When is this? Only if he didn't write an oinoi, which is another word for a star. Aba kosav alav oinoi zero shechur. But if he wrote an oinoi, that itself counts as the actual get shechur. And the question is hechidami oinoi. What kind of oinoi are we talking about? Omer Rav Sheshet, the kosav lei, meaning that he writes like this. Tibrach nimenu. If you run away from this guy who I'm selling you to, this guy, Ainli Esek Bach, at that point I have no further business with you. And Rav Shimon Gamliel was telling us, and the halacha is like him, because Bamedvar Mamur means he's not arguing with the Tanakhama, he's just explaining what he's saying. So we see from that Ainli Esek Bach is considered a valid form of a get shichur, and therefore Rav Shimon Gamliel is telling us he doesn't need another one. Tosfos points out a couple of details in that, by the way. Tosfos points out why does he have to say
traditional? Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, Tosfos says why does he have to say Ketivrach Mimenu? Why doesn't he just say if you run away from me in the Esek? Why go in this convoluted way to say I'm selling you to a guy? Then I'm going to be penalized and I have to buy him back, and I have to buy you back from him. And if Ketivrach Mimenu, if you manage to run away from him before that, Tosfos says the reason is because if he were to say that Ketivrach Mimenu, then he'll right away be chayiv and mitzvah. He won't even, at least when you're selling him as an eved kanani to a goy, you are preventing him from doing mitzvahs, and that's why we're penalizing you to free him, but at least, okay, he's an eved before, he's an eved now. You're not really changing his status. If you make him a ben chorin before you sell him to the goy, then you're really not, then making him a ben chorin is the worst thing possible for him. Now he'd be chayiv all the mitzvahs, not even just the ones that an eved is chayiv in, and you're selling him to a goy, he's not going to be able to do any of them. So therefore that wouldn't work. There's other, the Rashba, I think it is, also talks about that maybe Ketiv Rach Mimenu doesn't necessarily mean when you run away from him per se, it can just mean at any time in the future you end up leaving his rishus. For example, when I buy you back.
When he leaves the goy, he's free.
That's what we're saying. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, since he wrote this oino in the first place, then it's conditional. That condition waits. That condition is pending until he actually escapes from the goy. Or again, according to the Rashba, somehow leaves the goy's rishus. For example, the goy sells him to somebody else, or sells him back to his original master, or to another yid, whatever.
You actually need this condition in the shtar?
That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying. Otherwise, you would need a separate get shichru. Otherwise, he's taka, you're penalized by having to buy him back, but he'll still be considered an eved. He still will be also to marry a bas yisrael, so he'll be kind of in limbo over there until a proper get shichru is written.
So it's better that he's doing this than writing this.
Yeah. So therefore we see by an Eved that that Lashon works. Rishonim talk about the question, what about the Gemara having to ask the question, does Ein Miyesek work as far as a get or not? Tosfos Ri HaZaken says it does. Many of the other Rishonim say it doesn't. Again, we're talking about a get. Either the possibility is you wrote in the get, instead of writing Harayat Materis HaFadam, you wrote Ein Miyesek Bach. Or we're talking about the verbal declaration that you made along with the get, according to the Rishonim, who say that you need a verbal declaration. You wrote in the get, but you gave it to her saying, Ein Miyesek Bach. I'm going to buy it. I'm a kaddish for milva, ain't a kaddishes. If you're a kaddish a woman using a milva, meaning I previously lent you money, now I'm being mekaddish you with that money that I previously gave you.
Meaning I forgive the loan?
No, forgiving the loan is the next thing. That's we're going to say hanah mechilas milva. Wait, no, we're talking about using the original loan. So he had previously given her the loan. She owes it to him back, but at this point she hasn't paid it back yet. Okay, that's what we're going to tell you.
Transforming the loan into
Kedushin, basically. Wait, let's learn the four lines and we'll see. So Einim Kudeshus, she's not Makudesh because you have to have that something is actually handed over at the time of Kedushin. Here, Milva Laisa Nitna, even if previously he gave her the money, even if he just gave her the money right now, the din is Milva Laisa Nitna. Once you lend somebody money, automatically it's as if it was spent already. The person doesn't owe you back those same coins. They owe you their equivalent, their monetary equivalent. Therefore, you can't say that can constitute a valid kedushin.
Money is fungible or not?
Yeah, money is. So that's exactly what it is. Money is fungible. Yeah. The hanas milva mekudeshes. However, if you do it with the hanah of a loan, then mekudeshes. But also, lasis kain with nehar ramas ribis. But you're not allowed to do that with the hanas milva because it's a loophole, sort of. You're trying to work around the halachas of ribis. Well, what is hanas milva? Let's explain. Hey, hanas milva, hey chidami. First of all, there's what the Gemara is going to say over here, and then there's about four different explanations when we're showing him what the Gemara means. So let's see what we can do with it. Okay. So hey hanas milva, hey chidami. What exactly is this hanas milva we're talking about? Elimid Azkifa, are we talking about that originally when he lent her the money, he made up in advance that there's going to be ribis involved? The Amala Abba Hamisha, he says to begin with that I lent you four, I expect back five, and now he's saying basically in return for that fifth one, which you would have owed me, I'm being Makadish you. What do you mean? Ribis Malyasahu. You can't say Haramas ribis. That's full fledged ribis. There are other Rishonim who also learn the problem with it is not just a matter of the Lashon, HaRamas Ribis, the din is there's a difference between Ribis Daraisa of this kind versus something which is only also as Ribis Darabanan. Ribis Daraisa, the din is, Yotze B'dayonim, that if you make up in advance, I lent you four, you're going to pay me back five, you would afterwards be able to go to Beis Din and get that fifth Zuz back from the lender. Beis Din would have the ability to take it away from him since it was Ribis D'Araisa. Whereas if it was Ribis D'Rabbanan, then you couldn't. That's the point. It's an Issa D'Araisa, and Beis Din has the ability to take it back.
And D'Rabbanan?
Ribis D'Rabbanan, they don't. Ribis D'Rabbanan is Eina Yotze B'Dayonim. If the guy wants to return it on his own, good. But you don't have a leg to stand on in Beis Din to make him pay back something which is only also as Ribis D'Rabbanan. So according to some Rishonim, the point of the question is that if we're talking something which is Ribis D'Araisa, he never really can be considered to own that fifth Zuz in the first place because the Dayonim even have the ability to take it away from him. So again, that's one way of learning it. Well, so that's one way of looking at it. The other way, because it's Ribis D'Araisa, right. The other way of looking at it is that's fine and good. They do have the ability to take it away. Until they do, you do own it, though. And therefore, the Gemara's question is not the fact that you don't own it. The fact that the question is just on the Lashon, what do you mean, how Ramas Ribis, when it's full-fledged Ribis.
Hainu Milva, and anyway, isn't that the same thing as the Milva? I mean, okay, even if you're going to say that she has to pay him back all five zuzim, fine. So all it is that you're saying that at any one of those five zuzim, I'm mekadesh you with. And so it's loy tzricha de arba chlo zimna. No, rather what we're talking about is that he gave her extra time. So what does that mean? So here we have a few different explanations among Rishonim. Rashi says that it means, like this. That's Hanas Milva. So what do we mean? So Rashi says we're talking about like this. He had previously lent her money. He's saying, like this, you would owe it to me by a certain date, and if you wanted to extend the time, you would have had to pay somebody else to go and talk me into it, to agree. But I forgive that, and therefore that prutah that you would have had to pay somebody else to do that, that prutah I want to consider that you're mekudesh to me.
That's not ribis.
It's not full-fledged ribis thirdite, because it wasn't made up at the time of the loan. It was made up now, basically. He's saying that you would have owed me, like this, you would have owed me the loan next week because if you're willing to be niskadish to me for the value of the pruta that you would have had to pay for the loan modification, then I'll extend the deadline by another month, let's say. That's the point. But nevertheless, though, okay, he didn't take anything. That's one reason, Rashi says that's one reason why it's not considered ribis gomer. The usual definition of ribis, whether derais or derabanan, and actually mentions it here briefly, is ago netto. You're paying the person extra for the fact that they're waiting on you to repay him. I mean that's how interest works in the first place, right? The current value of money is more than the future value of the money. Or do I have that backwards? I don't know. Finance has never been my thing, but whatever it is, there's a difference in value between the current value and the future. The fact that you could have had this money now to invest or whatever, and instead you're waiting for me a month or a year or whatever till I pay it back for you. I'm paying you extra for that fact that you could have been investing that money meanwhile. That kind of thing is called agonetzer. In this case, Rashi points out, it's not really agonetzer. It's not like they made up any kind of deal in advance, whether ribis ksutza, whether the deraisa kind or the dabanan kind, that because I'm willing to extend the time, therefore you're going to pay me extra. He's saying now, after the fact, after the loan's already been taken out, that I'll extend it to you in return for that peruta. As opposed to having arranged that to begin with.
Then
it would be deraisa, or maybe not deraisa, maybe derabanan, depending on the circumstances, but yeah. So if he's mekadesh, so that's what we're saying. If he's mekadesh with the actual loan itself, it's already in her hands, and it's already considered as if it was spent. But he's mekadesh with this peruta that potentially she would have had to give somebody else, and now effectively he's giving her that peruta. He's giving her that peruta by her not having to spend it. So therefore, that's what we're saying. It can work. However, it's haramas ribis. It's a tricky way of doing ribis, sort of.
But she is mekudeshes.
That's what we're saying. She is mekudeshes, but you're not allowed to do that.
There's ribis between husband and wife.
They're not husband and wife yet, right? But yes, as a matter of fact, there is. The Gemara mentions in Bava Metzia and in Ezer and Eshech that you're not even allowed to. The Gemara mentions over there the possibility maybe you're allowed to lend your children at ribis in order to teach them how ribis works and to stay away from it. But the answer is either don't, because then on the contrary, you'll get them used to the concept of ribis. They'll get comfortable with it and they'll want it.
But you say the husband and wife is like one group, so how can you say it's ribis?
They still have their own nechassid. Anyway, at this point, they're not husband and wife yet.
This
is Betrana before the Kedushin.
Yeah, but.
Okay. Anyway, whatever. Yeah.
Actually,
you said
that,
it forgives her the whole milva at that point.
Yeah, for sure. If he's merchel the whole loan, for sure. The chiddush is, even if he's just extending the loan. Actually, Tosafos discusses that's part of it, is the reason where the Gemara could have mentioned the case where he forgives the whole loan. The reason we didn't is because we wanted to mention the business about haramas ribis. That wouldn't be the case if he forgives the whole loan. There's no haramas ribis to talk about. But if he's extending the loan, in return for this potential prutah that she would have had to pay, which instead he's using as kiddushin, that's the haram of surah
base. Because the mill was given already in advance. Now he's saying,
but hana of the extension of time for the milk.
For the
mechila, yeah. Either way. Okay. Anyway, Tosfos has a different explanation about it that we're talking about over here. We're not talking about over here a loan between him and her at all. We're talking about she owed money to somebody else, and he goes and gives that malva, he goes and gives that third party a pruta in order to extend the time of the loan. So therefore he's arguing, you have hana, I gave him a pruta, but you should consider it as though you received it, and therefore be niskadish to me. Okay, and then Tosfos has to get into the issue, okay, so why indeed would that be haram astribis? Okay.
So the question is, okay, I understand you have haram astribis, but why should have that an impact? Have an impact on whether or not she's married.
Because the fact is, there was a prutah's worth of hana over here.
Okay.
He gave her a prutah's worth of hana, therefore there was kedushin over here.
Yep.
That's what we're saying. Fine, there can be a problem with haram asuribis, but the kedushin is a kedushin.
Right.
Okay. There's other explanations that Rishonim have, including you have the Rambam and the Raivad discuss it also, among others. The Raivad talks similar to Rashi, that it's talking about he's extending the time of the loan, but he's talking about she had the money already ready to pay now. So therefore, he says I'm extending the time. So you have actually money be'ein. We're not just talking about the potential prutah that Rashi's talking about. We have money be'ein that he's allowing her to keep.
Tangible
money. Yeah. I guess so. And then there's the Rambam explains that just we're talking about Chachila, he lent her money, we're talking about right now he's lending her money, and then saying that the Hana that you're receiving, I'm not being Mekadosh you with the money itself, but with the Hana that you're receiving the loan. Incidentally,
do you do that with a rent?
Maybe.
The landlord and she lives there.
I don't know. Interesting thing, by the way. In Jewish history, we find an application of this whole thing about milva and hanas. Well, not hanas milva, just about milva. When Shaul HaMelech, what happened? Goliath is mocking the Jewish people. You can't find anybody to fight against me. Even your God isn't powerful enough, etc. Till David comes to the camp and is upset that Haytachan, this chutzpah yak, is going and mocking the Eibishter and the Jewish people, and nobody's going out against him. So David asks around, what is the king offering as a reward for anybody who gets this guy? So they tell him that the king has promised to make the guy very rich and allow him to marry his daughter. So David takes up the challenge. We all know the story. He kills Goliath. What happens? The next perek, Shaul offers David, okay, I've got to keep my promise. I want I have two daughters, Merab and Michal. So you want to be niskadish to you want to do kiddushin with Merab.
Down which one?
Well, he usually, like Lovin said, you don't marry off the younger before the elder, right? So usually the elder one. So, but David doesn't actually give anything for kedushin at that point. He relies on the fact that, look, Shaul owes me all that money, Osha Gadol, so therefore I'll use that for the kedushin. What happens? Shaul afterwards says, you know what, that doesn't work. I'm a Kaddish from Milvain and Mekudeshes. Merab is not Mekudesh to you. Therefore, I'll feel free to go marry her off to somebody else. And in fact, the pasuk says she wound up getting married to a fellow named Adriel. Next.
But he didn't do a malve?
Effectively, it was a milve. It's the same kind of thing. Shaul owed him money because of his promise, and he hadn't paid it yet. So David was relying on that to be the kedushin. And Shaul tells him that doesn't work. Then what happens? Next is a second daughter, Michal. But now what happens is at this point already you find in the Pesukim over there, Shaul is starting to get paranoid about David, that he's going to take him over or whatever. He tells him, in order, if you want to marry Michal, you have to go bring me back 100 orlos of Plishtim. He figures they'll get him into a dangerous situation. He'll probably get killed in the attempt. David brings back the mayor orlos. So what happens? So now you have, one way the Gemara discusses is that now David is relying on two things for the kiddushin. There's still that Osher Gadol, which is outstanding, which fine, okay, Shaul told him that doesn't work, but now there's the Meir Orlos Plishtim, which have a certain value. The Gemara points out, okay, you know, maybe not much value, but they're worth a pruta, at least they can be worth for dog food. So Shaul argues, you know what, very nice, but if you have a milva or pruta, which is actually a case we'll talk about later in the Masechta, if you have a case where there's a milva outstanding plus a pruta, who's Daita Milva. The woman probably has in mind to be in a Scottish using the Milva, not using the Pruta. So very nice you've got the Mayor Orlis pushed in. Doesn't mean that you're Mekudish to her either. Therefore, I feel free to go and send her and to marry this fellow Palti Ben Laish. Where David argues Daita Pruta, which that is Alacha, that she has in mind a Pruta. Therefore, that Mayor Orlis pushed in, which is worth at least a Pruta, is valid condition. Shaul had no right to ever send her off to Palti Ben Laish, and therefore, when David becomes king, one of the first things he does is he demands her back. When Avner, Shaul's former general, comes to him offering to get him to be king of the whole Jewish people, instead of up until now he was king only of Shevet Yehuda, David says, first things first, go arrange to get her back from Palti Ben Laish, because she is my lawfully wedded wife, and the fact that she's been with Palti all this time is awesome.
Michal?
It's Michal, yeah.
Okay, just the first time he married, he was never Shaul's son-in-law until...
No, so he was, that's the thing. So he thought that he was in the Scottish tomato. Turns out that that was wrong. Actually, the Gemara discusses over there the pros and cons. There was an opinion that he was, in fact, in the Scottish tomato, and that her marrying Adriel is an Aveira. But let's not get into that. We'll learn it in Sanhedrin, Ben Sashem. But
she's already considered
Dovidish. Yeah. But when the Gemara discussed it.
The first one.
But anyway, the second one, definitely. Michal definitely was his wife. Afterwards, at some point, while he was running away from Shaul took her and gave her to this Palti Ben Laish. Later on, like I say, David demanded her back. And actually, the Gemara mentions over there that in Sanhedrin, that Palti, all those years when he and Michal were together, he knew outright the halacha is like David, or at least he was choshish, it might be. Therefore, even though she's living with him in the house, he's like Gemara said, he stuck a sword in the bed and didn't allow himself to come anywhere near her. The Gemara says that he had an even more difficult Messiah than Yosef. Yosef was Potiphar's wife. It was a short term thing, and he knew outright she's also to him. Here it was a long term thing. He could have argued, I hold like Shaul, that she wasn't married to David, but he didn't allow himself any such a case.
She was forced,
perhaps, yeah. Okay.
But does he have to give him recognition for that? Or he doesn't even know.
The prophet doesn't mention anything about giving him recognition, but the Eivishter gave him recognition. Beforehand, he's called Palti Ben Laish. After this, at the end of the story, he's called Palti El. The Eivishter added his name to him to show that's where the name Palti El comes from. Yeah.
And you always respect it. I guess that's from there. I guess that's another from